Praise God. Trust that you are well. The Lord is keeping and sustaining and watching over your life. Today we carry on with 2 Corinthians, and we are in chapter 9. And it's a continuation of Paul's exhortation to the Corinthian church on giving. In chapter 8, he had started to tell them, and he was appreciating and urging them to give, but he was giving them the example that the grace that had been given to the Macedonian churches, and how these churches, out of their poverty, out of their trials of affliction, they a giving had abounded in joy, you know, and they gave quite generous, and what was their giving was marked by fast. They gave themselves to the Lord, then they gave themselves to the apostles, and then they gave their gift. So it first starts with giving of our hearts to God. We don't give because we are rich. You know, at times people think that all givers are rich. No, they are rich in heart. It starts with knowing who you are. It starts with knowing what God has done in your life. It starts with a thankfulness of heart. And when you learn to first give yourself to the Lord, then you meditate on He that gave you His only begotten Son, He that did not deny His best, gave that to you. How much more does He expect or does He deserve from us? And He is also able to show them that the gift is acceptable, not based on what one has, what one does not have, but that the gift is acceptable on based on what one has. So it's, if you don't have something, there is no point of going into extra debts and loans to give. But Paul was encouraging the church that they need to give out of what they have. And there will always be an equity because they were supporting, you know, the church in Jerusalem. That time the church in Jerusalem was going through great suffering, and there was also a great famine, persecution and famine and suffering, and so the churches that were in Asia Minor, the churches that Paul had raised, he was encouraging them to also contribute to the churches that are in Jerusalem. And likewise, there will be that exchange, in that in their time of need, they too also shall receive the same support. And then last of all, he also showed them that he was sending Titus, who he gave them the recommendation that he is a fellow servant, he is a fellow worker with him, and along with the brothers who are sent by the churches, they are sent to administer the gift and to carry the gift so that they can be sure and confident that whatever has been given by the churches will go and actually reach and meet the needs. And this speaks about honesty, speaks about the wisdom, you know, that God gave Paul, that how they should even administer the giving of the people. And God is continually calling us to be honest about the giving of the people, what God has given them, and we do our best to do that. Now in chapter 9, he starts to remind them the importance of giving and speaking about the heart of a giver and the cheerfulness that God expects, and also just giving them some practical wisdom of how they should prepare. Either at the start of the week, they should set aside what they need to give and just have a heart that is cheerful. And so let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it is necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation." So we can see that the Corinthian church in Achaia, they were already ready to give. In fact, a year ago, they were ready, and Paul had boasted about them to the Macedonian churches. But now that he wants to send the brothers from Macedonia, he feels the best way is to send some brothers ahead to encourage them to prepare the gift such that they are ready, and such that when they reach, they will not be giving out of, you know, grudging obligation, but they should be giving from a matter of generosity. And so he reminds them, verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, and he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, or bread to the eater, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For that the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." So Paul addresses some key things. One, he looks about the aspect of how do we give. And he says that the quantity, you know, we are to give according to our income. We are to give according to how much God has blessed us. Yes, there are those that God has blessed even more and God expects more. And there are those who might not have as much, and God will still expect them to give according to their proportion. And thus we as leaders and those as church leaders must not be segregating, because it is not according to what someone has that it is acceptable. No, it is according to what God has blessed. So with the measure that God has blessed each and every one of us, we are expected to give. And God always draws a balance, even in churches. He ensures that, well, there will always be some will have more, some will have less, but at the end of it, when all give, it is always enough to meet the needs of the church. So he says that he encourages us that there is an importance of how much we sow. And this is just a natural principle. If you plant little, you expect to reap little. If you plant much, you expect to reap much. And he's trying to say, remember, the much is not based on quantity, but based on proportionality. To you, if you give maybe 1,000, it might be small, but to another, it might be much. Based on heaven, the woman who gave the 2 mites gave much more than everyone else. So if in that case, she sowed much and she will reap much. So remember, it's not about the quantity. It's about based on your income and based on how God has blessed you. That is how heaven recognizes who has given more. And God is saying, if you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. So we are encouraged to give, and even when God moves our heart, because it's not every day, yes, that you might be moved to give, but there are moments that God moves your heart. There are moments that God touches you. There are times that there are great needs that if you don't intervene, then things will break down. Then in such moments, then God expects you to stand, expects you to be responsible. And if you don't do it, help will come from somewhere else. But you know, you will have missed that blessing that is that moment. And he now then addresses also their attitude of their hearts. He says, God loves a cheerful giver. That you must purpose in your heart. Actually, when you go to church, always have purpose in your heart. Oh, today I'm going to give this amount of money and be excited about it. Know that it is what you have desired to give God. You are grateful. And as you go and give it and your heart is cheerful, in fact, there are churches that ensure that people are dancing when they're, you know, when they're going to give. Why? Because they want them to have that joy. Have that joy that they are giving to their Father. You know, you're not giving to someone that is poor. When you're giving to God, it's like a child giving a father a gift. The father knows that the same money came from him, but the heart, just seeing that the heart of the child is willing to give to the father, then the father receives the gift and blesses the child. So there is a sufficiency. There is a sufficiency that God gives to give us. In fact, he says the God of all grace is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, that means give us, have a sufficiency for all things. That means that God ensures that when you need healing, you have it. When you need a blessing, you have it. When you need a job, you have it. When you need favor, when you need someone to speak for you in a certain place, you have it. There is a sufficiency of all things that God is able to make all grace abound, all favor abound, all unmerited favor abound. There are things that we don't receive by our own effort. There are things that we receive by grace. And when you learn this, then you learn to walk in the confidence of God, you learn to walk in the peace of God, and you learn to be established. So whenever you desire to give, just know that God is able to make all sufficiency abound. And in fact, he says that it is he who gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, bread for food. That means whatever God gives you, there is part of it that is a seed. There is part of it that is food. Now, if you eat your seed, then you don't have a harvest for the future. But if you eat your food, then that is fine. That is what God has given you. But you see, there is also a limit to how much you can eat. So that is why God gives us the wisdom how to invest, how to plan our resources, how to ensure that we are able to multiply the seed that God has given us, to multiply the resources that he has given us. Because when we are blessed in financially, then we are able to also bless others. We are able to meet the needs of the saints, to meet the needs of our families, to meet the needs of the street orphans, and to use that for missions and evangelisms. There is always a great need that will always arise when people serve God. Now, God is very clear that he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That means that there are things that God multiplies to give us. There are blessings that he multiplies. There is a righteousness that he multiplies. There are fruits, fruits of righteousness that are multiplied. And you will see it. There is a grace. There is a grace that follows those that God touches their hearts to give. And the Bible says the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, that means for all generosity, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. That means that whenever we give, people are grateful to God. They thank God for you. They pray to God for you. They see your faithfulness. They are grateful and they return all the glory to you, God, because they know that your giving is supplying the needs of the saints and also abounding to many thanksgivings to God. One of the key things that we see about the early church is that they were known for their giving. Jesus said, "How shall men know that you are my disciples? By your love." Love is seen in giving, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. So God is the number one giver. He gave us his best. And there's a place where God expects us to share. God expects us to meet the needs of the saints. And this is also a place for wisdom. I mean, there are those who now don't want to work and expect that everyone should give them. No, that is encouraging laziness. But there are times where there are genuine needs that unless we intervene, indeed, things will go wrong. So God expects us to be moved with hearts of compassion, to be moved, to be cheerful in our giving, to not be giving out of necessity or grudgingly, not to be, you know, schemed out of giving, not to be defrauded out of giving. But if God guides us and we listen to him, we are guided by him, then we shall be giving in the right way and at the right time. And God shall ensure that we shall be blessed in all things and at all times. God desires that we prosper. That he says, "Beloved, I desire above all things that you prosper, even as your soul prospers." It is a blessing to have enough. And as a principle of life, seed time and harvest time shall never end. You know, many times people pray for blessings, people pray to get rich, people pray, you know, to receive resources, but the secret is always in the application of that word. When you give to the Lord, when you give of your tithes, he rebukes the devourer. When you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. When you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. When you give much, you reap bountifully. All these are principles that God has given. Multiplication in wealth comes from learning the principle of sowing and reaping, giving, having a cheerful heart, giving according to the proportion of your faith, according to the proportion of your income, setting it aside, purposing in your heart, scattering freely. There is no giver who will lack. There is no sower who will run dry. When we give according to the Spirit, not so that every man can see us, that's when Jesus gives the principle, let your right hand not know what your left hand is doing. Why? Because when you're giving to the poor, it's not about a show off. But when you're giving to the Lord, decide what to give. There, know what to give. So there's a difference in that. So it's not about the show, but it's about, there is a God who knows what you do in secret and is able to reward you in public. I encourage you that God will bless you, that God will increase you, and even as he increases you, increase your giving, increase the meeting of the needs of the saints, increase your giving for missions, because at the end of it all, it results in a blessing, it results in thanksgiving to God, it increases the fruits of your righteousness, and also marks the proof of your ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your children. Thank you for the grace of giving. Thank you that even as you grant wisdom, I pray for cheerful hearts, O God. The Lord, you create hearts that understand the principles, understand the love, understand the needs, O God, and are able to discern the needs of the body and be able to be that hands and those feet that will touch the sick, touch those in prison, touch the poor, touch those that are lacking. And even as they continue to give, the Lord, indeed, you that supplies seed to the sower and bread to the eater, that you shall continually multiply the seed and ensure that they have all sufficiency in all things to do every good work. They shall abound in every good work. I pray for your people that are continually looking unto you for answers, O God, for the next level, O God. I pray that you guide them in your ways. Open doors for them. Make a way and be a shield and a guide. Even as this day we carry on, may your hand and power be with each and every one of us. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.